born to broadcast. Television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to Fritz and Friends, a Tuesday night edition, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320 WILS. Going out on the phone right off the top of the show to Kevin Grasha, who's a writer, a reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Good evening, Kevin. How are you?
Good, thanks, Cheryl.
Wanted to talk to you about the trial you've been, a preliminary hearing in what was the most tragic case in Lansing last summer, in July of last summer, where a stepfather testified during this hearing that he shot his 7-year-old stepdaughter and she died of those injuries the next day. Maybe you can just kind of start and recap the prelim and give us a little background on the case for us.
Sure. We covered the homicide initially, and we knew that somebody had shot the girl, but it really wasn't until the prelim yesterday, the preliminary hearing yesterday, that we heard for the first time that the bullet actually came from her own stepfather. Basically, the family was downstairs watching a movie on their TV. A man comes through the window with a gun. Basically saying, I'm going to kill you, to the stepfather. He runs upstairs. The guy misses him a couple times, fires a couple shots and misses. Father goes upstairs, finds his gun, tries to return fire, but his gun jams. He then goes into a bedroom, unjams the bullets out of the gun, and hears footsteps coming up the stairs. He said, I just stepped out the door, closed my eyes, and shot. And when I opened my eyes, I saw my daughter laying on the stairs, or my stepdaughter laying on the stairs. The gunman then eventually leaves the house, but the only victim in this crime was this little girl.
And you and I talked for just a few minutes later. You've been covering some pretty horrific stories over the years. You said this one really got to you yesterday. The very idea of what you first heard yesterday about the stepfather is the one that shot the gun.
Right. It's the most senseless thing that I've ever personally covered. And I just think about it from the perspective of this girl. She was frightened. She ran upstairs because she saw her stepdad who was going to protect her. And, that's why she was running up there. And he didn't know that it was her, obviously. And it's probably a 1 in a million shot, but he did shoot her.
And she died the following day from the injuries?
Correct, yeah.
Now, there are two people bound over for trial after the preliminary exam, if I'm correct on that.
Yes, there was actually three people involved in this home invasion. And the guy with the gun who came through the window, no one seems to know who that is.
Really?
The two who were arrested and who are charged are two who are seen outside the house who apparently are accused of being involved in the home invasion. But at this moment, the person who actually, started this whole thing has not been found.
Well, it sounds like he just came in and started shooting.
He comes in and he says something like, you know what time it is. And the stepfather, admittedly, is a former drug dealer. He has a felony record, and so he knows he's kind of a target out on the streets. And so his first move was to go upstairs and get his gun and hopefully be able to protect his family.
Now, the background of the stepfather, in part of your article that I read, a great article, talked about that there had been rumor on the street that heard that he'd been called a snitch, so he knew that there might be folks looking for him.
Yeah, there were several rumors on the street. One was that they were planning to rob him, which he said would have been no good because he no longer had drugs or money in the house. And then this other issue of him being a quote-unquote snitch. He denied all of that and actually said pretty clearly that he had never spoken to police about any case.
Now the gentleman we're talking about, LeVar Burton, the stepfather, was granted immunity for his testimony. Why was that?
Well, correct, because he shot the girl, and technically the prosecution could have determined that he should be charged with manslaughter.
That's my question, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also a convicted felon, and so he has no right to own a gun. So there's another charge right there that he would have faced.
Yeah, those were my two questions, Kevin.
Yeah.
And so how were those dispensed for him?
The prosecution just, he had an attorney, and the prosecutors and his attorney worked out an agreement that, whatever he said, they weren't going to prosecute him. And obviously, the two gentlemen who are charged at this point would not be charged without the stepfather's testimony, because he was the only witness called, and he's the most significant witness, at least at this point in the case.
Now, my other question for you, and thank heavens you're in the courtroom, because we all can't be, the two men who were charged, D'Angelo Jordan and Jerry McKinney, both of Lansing, they faced, and stop me if I'm wrong, charges of murder, first-degree home invasion, and using a gun while committing a felony. Did they both have guns as well that they just didn't discharge that night, or was it the third man with the gun?
It's not clear. It's okay. Basically, whatever he did, they're responsible. They were responsible and involved in that home invasion, so anything that the gunman did, they're also responsible for. And that's why they face basically the same charges.
And these folks obviously at this point haven't decided to name their third partner.
No, they have not. And actually, initially back in February, police arrested a third man. It was D'Angelo Jordan's brother, and he was the charges were dismissed, and he was released about 10 days later. Okay. Apparently, he passed a polygraph test and may have had an airtight alibi.
So this has been bound over for trial. Has there been any trial date set yet?
No trial date yet. Although in these kind of cases, especially with a potential defendant who could still be caught, it's going to go for a while, several months, if not a year or more.
Is the family concerned? I mean, I know you hear what goes on in the courtroom and are able to talk to a lot of folks. Is the family concerned because there's someone still out there who was involved with this?
Well, they've moved. They've
okay.
just moved from the house. And honestly, the family would have preferred that there was no news coverage of this hearing yesterday. And I'm sure they feel bad that we even covered this. It's a public event, and there's a lot of public interest in it.
And the father, I thought this was interesting in your article, the father of 7-year-old Amaya, were you able to speak with him yesterday?
Yeah, he's spoken with us a number of times, and I was actually curious yesterday whether or not he knew that LeVar Burton was actually the person who shot his daughter. And he said that he had known basically this entire time, and that LeVar had admitted this to him a long time ago. He kind of kept it to himself. But yeah, he was he's forgiven LeVar, at the same time, he says he was also irresponsible and acted completely recklessly, having a gun in the house with children. And then, LeVar Burton also had admitted having, a gram of marijuana in the house.
Wow. So no wonder this one impacted you. I can't even imagine the circumstances surrounding this. What happens next then? We wait for a trial date?
We wait for a trial date, and we see if the investigation eventually turns up another or a third suspect.
Are police still asking, the usual, anyone that knows anything or, surrounding this time? It happened on July 22nd of last summer. They're looking for help and someone to come forward?
They aren't really actively seeking men. I mean, I did call them yesterday to make sure that they were still pursuing a third suspect, and they assured me that they are. They didn't ask for any sort of, there's a typical tip line that you can call for Lansing police, but they didn't put that information out. But I'm sure they would take any help they can get.
Wow. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. Some great reporting on and obviously a very difficult story. Thank you for your time, Kevin.
Hey, thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. I encourage folks to go to lsj.com or pick up a Lansing State Journal to read coverage of this from the last couple of days. We've been speaking with Kevin Grasha, who is Lansing State Journal writer and reporter. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS right after this.